Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh, and this young man is
Will Alexander. Hi, everybody.
Yes, he is. Hello, everyone. Will, what do you got for housekeeping this week?
Oh, well, we talked about a few things. I'd like to talk about the jingle, Wayne, because we have this jingle written and we have to get some music to go with the jingle. And you had a great idea last week about asking our listeners if they would be willing to help us out with the jingle.
That's right. That's right. What we really need is someone to produce. I mean, someone who knows, someone who knows what they're doing would be nice. Yeah. There's, you know, these whippersnappers have that on their Apple computers. They have those GarageBand software, right? So if you're 9 years old, you probably know how to use it. When you're our age, you have no idea how to turn it on.
GarageBand is what in our garage back in the day.
That's right. And you just, you know, you lay in the drum track and you lay in the guitars wherever you want to lay in. Organs, we like accordion music would be nice.
Well, accordion. Like a polka.
That's a little polka. Yeah, that'd be nice. A waltz, whatever you want to do. And we can lay down the vocals if you want, or you can sing it because you can. We can't, but we try. So whatever you want to do, doing our little jingle. And again, if you can help us with the jingle, contact the email address, which is Young William.
Dogshowtips@gmail.com.
That's right. And let know Will. Let Will know at that email address thing.
Dogshowtips@gmail.com.
That's the one, Will. And you will get a free bottle of Williams Original, or what is it? Alexander's
Originals.
That's right. And now Will makes the shampoo.
He just threw that in there. I have to give away stuff.
That's right. And Will makes it right in his kitchen, ladies and gentlemen.
With my feet.
With his feet. This is the real thing. This is the real deal. Your dog too can win, just like Will's dogs. If you use the shampoo. If you don't, you're on your own. We can't help you.
That's right.
Also, in housekeeping, there was something else, Will. You have any idea what it was?
Sponsor. If you want to subscribe,
that's right.
You can subscribe to our podcast, The Dog Show Drive, and we're available on Spotify, Apple, and Skechers.
That's right. And you know, if you really subscribe would be great because we keep track of what's going on, and you'd get notifications.
Yeah, apparently you get notified. So.
Yeah, we've been pretty good about it. We record it every Tuesday for Thursday, so it drops when you can drive as you're driving the shows. And for a couple of guys who aren't really good with appointments and times and clocks and calendars, we've nailed this 5 times, so we intend to do it.
Today was close.
It was very close. I thought it was Monday. And
I was asleep in my chair.
So thanks for
waking
us up, everyone.
It was Hockey Central. Hockey News was on, and I was falling asleep when you called me.
That's right. I was watching the Capitals and the Islanders, and then I thought, well, there must not be a Maple Leafs game on. That's why Will's sleeping in the chair. So I was watching some really good teams. You can watch the Leafs once in a while. Anyway.
We better call Al's brother.
That's right. Will and I were talking. We were talking before, just before Will, about the garden and what's going on there, and thought that'd be something we could start with tonight if you wanted to catch us up there.
Yeah, well, I just noticed perusing Facebook, you know, the news. It looks like some people aren't getting their entries in the garden this year, or Westminster, not necessarily the garden. And it seems like people had to enter 4 or 5 dogs are getting one, and then they seem to be a little bit of an uproar. So I'm just wondering why this is happening when we're at the Westchester site. I'm surprised they even put a limit on this. But my worry is that these people get the one dog entered, then they're going to think, one dog, I'm not even going to bother going. You know, we'll have a lot of absentees if this happens to certain numbered dogs entered.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ken Murray shows at Grays Lake. There's 10 of them in 2 days of the same day as the garden. And they're not too scared that they're just going to fall off.
I already know some. I have some friends I've spoken to that I know are going to those shows instead of Westminster.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. That's too bad. The you know, I remember going to shows there when there was 3,000 dogs and with spectators, lots of spectators. There's plenty of room for everybody.
Oh, it's a huge grounds and venue, well, outdoor venue. I'm surprised that the limit had to have, had to be a limit. I was surprised because now we're going to be missing some of the top dogs in Canada or America and the world, really.
Right. Yeah, we are. And people that, you know, that I've been getting a lot of messages from people who from other countries who look forward to coming over here. And I mean, I'm actually tomorrow I've got to make reservations, but I think I'm just going to fly in, judge that English setter specialty in the short hair sweeps the day they're not doing sporting, and then head back. I don't know if I'm going to make a trip. It's only an hour down, but and I'll look forward to, I love that show, obviously. And for you, Doug Belter, I have to mention that we won it back a couple years ago. He says we mention it every episode.
Oh, did he say
so? I don't want to disappoint him.
Check that one off.
Okay, Belter in the books. And I told him, you know, we mention Doug almost every show.
We're going to have to call
keep that streak going,
he
too.
He can be our Al's brother.
He can be our Al's brother. That's right. Just he can be. You already are, Doug. You're part of the show, buddy, because we love you. Anyway, that's too bad. You know, well, and I guess it's, and really you can't blame Westminster at all.
No, we're lucky we're having a show. Let's put it that way. Like I'm happy there's a Westminster show this year. I just worry now because of what's happening on Facebook. We don't know what else is happening, but that we may miss some dogs because I'm afraid that certain handlers, if they only get one dog in, they're not going to come, you know.
Right. And really, you know, if you have a chance and if you're just going to, you know, if you're going to bring a couple dogs and maybe a special that, you know, you can't really hit it with, but you should be there. Maybe you won't even go at that. So I can tell you another from my world, you know, in television.
Television. What are you talking about?
You do watch television and I've seen you do it and you're very good at it. But I haven't made a few shekels in television back in the day. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like for this crew to be shooting in a tent outdoors.
Yeah.
Without the crowd noise, without the, you know, the people yelling for the basset hounder. It's always something like that, right? That just makes it so much fun. And that's going to be canned, I'm sure. They'll find a way. But you can't have all the cameras and all the, I don't know how you do. There's a lot of cameras hidden in that ring, and it's going to be tough to do any of that.
And God knows what the weather's going to be like.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That is an issue, right? Yeah. I mean, that's going to be something to deal with as well. So, yeah.
We're going to be sloppy around in our boots in the group in the garden or Westminster. Yeah,
well, bless their hearts for putting it on. I mean, it's a yeoman's effort for them to put it on. So tip of the hat to the garden and all those involved. And we hope it gets back to normal next year. Or whenever it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it's going to be. What else, Will? We're talking about.
Well, this just sort of leads us right into the next. We were talking about, you were mentioning earlier about your article about positive dog show judging. Because we are seeing too much of a negative judging. And I honestly agree that it's easy to be a negative judge. You can almost ask a non-dog person to tell you what's wrong with a certain dog and they can tell you.
Yeah. I wrote this piece years ago and that's not true. I did a seminar, Jim Edwards, God bless him. He was alive. I just love my buddy, Jim, miss him every day. We did a seminar together. It was a 2-day long event. And one of the days had a section called The Power of Positive Judging. And I need to reference Kathy Lorenzen, who was instrumental in getting that part together and is a real promoter of that kind of thinking. I was just talking to someone recently and talking about five dogs in particular breed that I think should win groups, even though maybe not under me. I think all five of them are group worthy. They're that good.
Quality specimens.
Yeah. Quality specimens, absolutely. And the response was right down the line. This dog's got too much lip. This dog's got too much. And I thought, man, you're missing all the good features of these dogs, all the virtues.
Yep.
And these are chock full of virtues. And I've noticed over the years that, first of all, it makes you a miserable judge. Because you're always looking for something negative.
Oh, exactly.
How can you be happy?
Day.
Yeah, how can you be happy? Yeah. Right. you know, you walk in the ring and you know your day is going to be crap because you're going to hate all of something on all the dogs, right? But it tends to seep out into the whole attitude of the people that tend to judge that way. They'll pick negative things about a person and miss the good parts.
Yep.
They'll look at anything and find the one thing wrong, you know, and it's a miserable way to go through the day. And at dog shows, we need all the positive vibes we can, especially if we're evaluating breeding stock.
Well, exactly. I remember, I'll tell you just a quick story. I was showing an English Setter years ago. His name was Oliver. He was a wonderful dog. He had a big head. And like, you know, if anybody knew, he had a big head. And Mrs. Clark gave him that group one day. And he went on to go best in show owner, John Connolly. Bless his soul again. And but somebody came up to Mrs. Clark and said, I don't know if they were complaining to her, but they brought up Oliver's big head. And she said, yes, he has a big head, but it's a beautifully made head.
Yeah.
So like she saw the virtue in his head, even though it was, maybe you would want a little less, but the way it was made and the chiseling and the foreface and the skull, it was all beautiful. It was just a lot.
Right. But what about the rest of him too? I bet he had plenty of virtues behind.
Oh, he had a lot of virtues. Yeah.
Jim Edwards and I used to go around because I'm a tail freak. They've got to be proper for the breed, especially in gun dogs where they, you know, there's a real purpose for every tail. And he'd say, oh, Kavanaugh, you got to go all the way back there to find something wrong with them. You ought to get over it. You're missing all the good stuff on the way up.
And that's true. And I have a hard time with that as well, being from the breed I'm started in Irish Setters. And because we went through a stage where all of a sudden our tails just went in the air.
One sire and boof, off they
went. Boom, up in the air. They were pointing the direction they were going almost, you know. And I had a real hard time with it. And it's right. You've got to look at the virtues of the rest of the dog. But there's some things that, like, I still have a hard time. Trust me. It's still hard.
Sure.
Got to look past and train my eye to look
past. If you can walk in that ring and go down the line the first time, and I consciously do this or try to do it every time, walk down the ring and look at every dog and say to yourself, this dog's got a beautiful front. This, I don't care if he's orange and he's an Irish Setter.
Right.
This dog's got a beautiful front. You know, this dog's got a beautiful head. This dog's got beautiful skull planes and he's got the correct tail set. This dog's got beautiful feet. Whatever it might be, you get down the line looking at those virtues. First of all, you're going to start your whole judging in a more positive mindset.
There's no question.
And if you're evaluating breeding stock, you've got to look for virtues. If you throw a dog out because they've got out of your breeding program because it has too much lip or too much whatever, you're never, I mean, none of them are perfect. None.
Right.
Well, maybe Miss P. There you go, Doug. Got her in again. But other than that, you know, it's really hard to try to look at these things and not notice the virtues if you know the breed standard. If you know not just the breed standard, if you know the breed.
Right, yeah.
You know, if you know their essence, if you know their type, if you know what makes them tick and why they're here and why they're made and by whom and what for.
Right. There's so many people that can repeat the breed center verbatim, and I'm sorry they don't get it, you know, but they can memorize it. And we used to have this wonderful gentleman up in Canada. His name was Bob Cole. Did you ever hear of Bob Cole?
Oh, yeah.
Judge Robert Cole. He used to draw.
Yeah, great. He used to draw. And
he used to draw these dogs.
Yeah, they were great.
Oh, yeah. There was a great series. And I loved Robert Cole. He was a great guy. And I loved all his articles. But the man that drew the articles compared to the man that judged the dogs was almost different.
Yeah.
Like, what about when you drew this on the Saluki and you were judging? So but you knew he got it, but I think he just talked himself out of things sometimes, or he overthought it sometimes when he was actually in the ring. Yeah. But it was funny because he was like that though. He would go over a dog and he would out loud say what he liked about the dog. He never said what he didn't like, but he'd say what he liked about the dog as he was going over it. It was more to himself, but you heard him.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. It was really interesting. You know, he was an interesting gentleman.
Those are great exercises. And there's still a magazine that runs, might be Chronicle, I guess it is, that runs sketches of outlines of dogs, and then you pick the best one just by their outline. And obviously you're looking at a silhouette. Sure. You can't tell character movement and all that. But I love it because it does give you that basic silhouette, and you're looking for virtues in that silhouette.
Right. And even the overall look of the dog, type-wise, is in that picture. Like, Bob was a very talented artist, so he drew some really good dogs.
Yeah, he did. He did. They were great. Speaking of that, I saw an ad today for a dog, and it did a lot of those quotes from the Standard.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And one of the quotes was, moderation. That there's a sentence in that breed standard about moderation. This dog had zero moderation, none. And I'm sure that this person thought that this particular dog excelled in moderation, but it was so overangulated behind and straight in front, it wasn't even funny.
Well, maybe he was just trying to impress upon it to the viewers of the magazine that, you know, maybe if he puts the message out there, they'll overlook it.
Yeah, that's right.
That as moderate, you know.
Yeah, that's right. This is a new moderate.
I remember it was back when Allison and I were still showing, and someone put up an ad, and it was, I won't say what breed it was, the whatever in moderation. And she looked at the picture and she went, they're just telling us it's common right now. I'll never forget that, yeah. So
now, but we should also say that moderation does not mean common, right?
No.
Right. But that
I think
is
it was
funny.
A dog she was in direct competition with. So was,
I completely understand. I would have said the same thing.
Well, it's that edge to it, you know.
But, you know, the whole evaluating breeding stock thing and looking at things positively, you know, we see it in breed clubs. We see it everywhere at dog shows. People finding faults.
Right.
And it's just infuriating. You know, I had a judge that I can say it's Johan. We love him. And he came out and he gave a particular dog a group. And I thought he should have done it too. And he came out and he said, that breed never moves that well. That's the best moving one of those I've ever seen. The most correct for its breed.
Yeah.
You know, the right kind of movement, not fancy, the right proper kind of movement. And someone said, well, he's kind of fat and back skull. And he said, so what? You know, there's 1,000 good back skulls and bad back skulls. No, I've not seen one move like this. Right. And I thought that was, you know, that's the kind of eye we need. It just becomes, and it's a breed he knows a lot about too. So it was a fun conversation. But yeah, we just hear too much of that. And I think it's unhealthy for our people and for the dogs and for the shows.
Scroll through Facebook sometimes. Like sometimes I can't, you know,
just negativity.
Negativity all the time.
But speaking about evaluating breeding stock, I watched your interview with Paul Edwards. And by the way, you've had some great ones. The best one was the one with me, obviously. But the worst one was the one with Doug. We all know. But the
he's going to stop following us, you know.
I know.
We do love our podcast. To keep this up.
No, actually, Doug's was a really good interview.
We had fun. Doug and I had fun. We talked.
It was also very informative. He's a good dog man. I mean, it was a real good interview. But Paul's was great. And I just, you know, there's so much knowledge in that guy and so much backstory.
Yeah.
And it really hit me. In fact, I wrote a little note to myself. When you ask the question in these interviews, you always ask about assistants or juniors or someone getting into the sport, whatever it is. And he said something no one else, everyone says, you got to work hard, you got to do this, or don't expect
to work for a handler, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
He said something that no one else has said that I think is absolutely profound. He said, you should work for a breeder. And it made so much sense to me because we see people getting into it and showing dogs. They may have a great talent for showing dogs, but if you don't know what you're showing and how to show it, and more important, don't know your competition and can't appreciate the competition, you're just going to make a fool of yourself.
Oh, exactly.
And I'm sick and tired of people saying, I can't believe I got beat by that, whatever. And I'm like, no, your dog is not as good as that dog. Trust me, you know, but you wouldn't know that if you didn't get that foundation. And what Paul's talking about is brilliant. I worked for breeders. A lot of us did.
I found myself falling back on Mr. Eldridge all the time. And I didn't really work for him, but I spent a lot of time with him as a young boy. And I absorbed a lot of what he said to me, or even what he was saying to people that were in our company. Right. And I fall back on that a lot.
His little statements, they could be so subtle. This is Ted Eldridge of Terwijl de Irish Setters, ladies and gentlemen. One of Will's and mine heroes. And I think a hero to most anyone who ever met him.
Never met him. Just,
or anyone in that era. Just an absolute gentleman in every way. And a brilliant dog man too. Bred great Irish Setters. And English Cockers too. Right?
Yeah, his wife was English Cockers, yeah.
But working for, if you're starting off, and I'm not saying you got to work there for 10 years, but you should have an association with breeders. And not just call them up. You need to be there, whelp some, get in the whelping box. I've never met a great dog person yet who hasn't whelped litters. You've just got to know how that works. You've got to know what that feels like, what that smells like, the whole vibe of doing that and seeing how they, the whole, what you get when you breed this to that. It's just fascinating. And you're not going to be a great handler unless you know that.
Oh, and it's true. Like we worked a lot with a lot of breeders in our careers showing dogs, and certain ones that excelled. I have those families, the dog families, stamped in my head now, and I can I'll be a ringside and I'll see one walk through and I'll say that's so and so, and I'll right away that's who it is, I really love having that aspect. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's the best one in the ring, but I recognize that family. And you eventually learn the families of, if your breeder that you're working with is really involved in the sport, they talk about different families as well, because they use those other families in their families. So you start to learn about all the families. Len Harfield was, I don't know if you know who Len Harfield is, a miniature poodle breeder up here in Canada.
Yeah.
And he always refers to them as families, and his family of miniature poodles, how they go back to this family and that family. And you could see them. Once he broke it down for me, I could see those two families in his family.
Yeah.
And it's invaluable tool, I think.
To have. Isn't that cool? Yeah. I love talking about breeding to Pat Craig. And I remember I've seen many of her litters, and we'd go to the show and just say, hey, Wayne, come over. I got another, I got some puppies I want you to look at. And I could do that all day, especially talking to her about it, And we had so much fun going over that. And I remember once we were looking at a litter of puppies, elk hound puppies, and she said, what do you like? And I said, for breeding, that one. For showing, that one.
Yeah.
And she said, well, you're right. You hate to say that, right?
I have a Pat Craig story. She was the one that, do you remember when the other magazine, Dog News, do 10 questions, so on and so. Well, Pat asked me the 10 questions. And one of the questions was, if I wasn't a dog handler, what would I be? And I said, I'd want to be a Viking. And after we were done talking about it, she said, if I knew you wanted to be a Viking, I could have set you up with a dog.
As she could have. Now, what you can't see, speaking of Vikings, what you can't see is we actually do these on Zoom because it's the easiest way to record audio to the cloud and to use it for podcasts. So Will and I can see each other. And we've mentioned before that we don't look our best, right? But our names pop up. Mine always says Tom Grady. So I always change mine. And this week I changed it to El Conquistador.
Yes, and I asked him why.
Yeah. Well, I like cars. I've had a few.
You still have the Cadillac?
No, the 74 Cadillac I sold. That was quite a crop. Well, I had the two Alfa Romeos, the Cadillac, the SL550 Mercedes, and some other stupid cars I didn't need. And I finally got rid of all. Brody was sad about the Cadillac.
I remember seeing him drive out the driveway with it.
And we had some beautiful blonde with blue eyes and long hair. He's looking at
the Cadillac. Off he goes.
And Brody's his sixth giant frame, and that had the seat all the way back. And Frank Sinatra playing on the radio. That thing was so cool. It was about 400 miles long.
He wasn't going to hurt himself in that because it's a tank.
He loved that car. Sorry, Brody. Love you, buddy. Sorry I had to sell the Cadillac, but it took up too much space. But anyway, I have fun with car salesmen and over the years. I've had, and by the way, a lot of these were $300 cars, a lot of crap cars, but some pretty nice ones too. But I've had 64 of them. And I'm not proud of that. But now, with that said, at least a dozen of them were company UKC cars or vans, whatever. And some were motorcycles, I think 11. I never would do that again, but I did. So there was a lot. But anyway, you buy a lot. So you get, you know, and I was buying an expensive car.
I don't buy a lot.
No, I was buying an expensive car this time. And I thought it would be fun. The guy was being just usually in the Midwest. When I moved here from New York, I went to buy a couple of cars for the business and for Cheryl and I. And the guy was truthful and nice. And I thought, what kind of fun is this?
Yeah.
You know, in New York, you get to scream at each other, walk, I'm not, you know, do all that stuff. You know, there's no stress here. You walk in there like you want to buy, yeah, okay, that's it. So it was kind of easy, you know? So after all these years, I ran into a guy who must have just moved here from somewhere where there was tension because he was a jerk. And I said to him, I'll be back tomorrow, but we're going to have to talk about this whole deal. And it was dear. And I walked in and said, okay, I'm ready to buy this. But you're going to have to call me El Conquistador. I want you to refer to me at all times in front of all other customers as El Conquistador. I won't buy the car. And he had a hard time doing it, but I kept him on track. And I would intentionally walk away or something. We had to call me. And all the people in the store would turn around and look at El Conquistador. And I just waved, thank you. And he called me El Conquistador the whole time. It was so much fun. I couldn't even stand myself. So I went to sign for the car. And I almost wrote El Conquistador. But I knew that would void he'd have to do all the paperwork over.
It's sort of like the maestro on Seinfeld.
It's like the maestro on Seinfeld. That's where I got it. That's where I got it. And I also had a buddy who used to call me El Conquistador for no apparent reason. So that's how it all happened. But anyway, so we're I don't need any more cars. Please, people, no more cars. You were talking about, and we were talking about old judges before.
Yeah.
Speaking of El Conquistador, one of the El Conquistadors of the sport was Joe Fagel.
Oh, I love Joe Fagel.
Right? And he deserved the name way more than I did, even for that few minutes. And we were talking about him. And Will, you had a story about him I hadn't heard before.
When I was a kid, he passed away when I was still young. But I got to know him very well. He was so good to kids when they showed dogs. He would actually give me money every time I showed a dog to him.
Really?
Yeah. I remember he gave me pointers, gave me the breeding pointers somewhere, and he gave me like a dollar, you know.
Oh, how cool.
And he gave me a huge win in Dobermans with my class bitch, and he gave me a dollar.
Huh.
And I got to know him very well. And I don't think he told me this story. I think it was actually Dr. John Reeve Newsland told me this story. That he was so good with people because they'd always come and ask him questions. And I remember John told me this story that one day this woman walked up to him and said, "Mr. Fagel, you're the worst judge in America." And his response was, "Oh my God, when did Mildred Bryant die?"
Now that's thinking on your feet.
There was also another one. He said, you see, he was judging a hound group, and the saluki was in this hound group, and he said it was probably the worst saluki he'd ever seen. And when he judged it in the group, he said, "Okay, well, you take it around the end of the line and don't let anyone get behind you." That might have been John as well telling me that story. I think I brought up this because I have one of those cast iron Bosch and Terriers.
Yeah.
And actually, his daughter gave that to me from his collection. So I have that sitting here. I've had that for 20 years. Plus,
is it a Boston Terrier?
Yeah, it's a Boston Terrier. Yeah.
We had a Boston Terrier cast iron doorstop. Cheryl's mother and grandmother did.
Well, everybody does. Everybody has those Boston Terriers.
Yeah, they were a thing, right? Yeah. And our kids, when they were little, used to call them doorstops. So when they were they'd see a Boston Terrier and they'd look, "Daddy, doorstop.
Doorstop." Well, and I would say that to one of my clients, and then they'd say, well, I think we should use this dog or keep this dog. And I'd say, why would we keep this dog? He looks like a doorstop.
By the way, if you've got a Boston Terrier and a sense of humor, and it's going to be a good one that we get to see all the time. You need to name it Doorstop. It's an official registered name. That that would be a great way to support this channel.
But I've had that. I don't remember how long ago did Joe die or pass away. I was, it's got to be 30 plus years anyway, I would think, right?
Yeah. Well, you're 70, and if Joe was probably, well, you're not 70 yet, are you?
No, not 70 yet. No, no.
But speaking of birthdays, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to wish.
Oh, yes, yes.
The greatest woman that ever walked on this planet. She's still walking on this planet. She's just the heart and soul of everywhere she goes. When she walks into a room, it smiles and dances as she does. My mother will be 100 years old when you listen to this broadcast Thursday. 100. And she's sharp as a tack. And she loves dogs.
Oh, my gosh. I remember seeing her at Haley's wedding. And she was dancing away. And she didn't want to stop. And
she was 97. Yeah. Or 96 then.
I was getting tired watching her.
We went to a big wedding, my nephew's wedding a few years ago, and a giant wedding down in North Carolina. And she got up the first dance and didn't sit down. She had her walker. You know, she holds on to the walker. Not very well. She usually drags it behind her. I've got my walker. It's back here.
Leave me alone.
We love you, Mom. You're the best.
Happy birthday. Wow. That's an incredible years. Achievement.
Incredible. The story she can tell dogs and dog shows too. You know, this happens a lot in the sport. And it doesn't matter what gender. There's a person like my dad was out there at the shows. You know, he was the one everybody saw. He's the one people knew. My mom was back home taking care of those dogs and us kids. And that kind of relationship happens all. I was talking to Jim Fankhaus, just a great guy, local guy here in town, Clumbers. And he was saying, you know, all those times on the road, his wife had to stay home and take care of things. And sometimes they never get the credit that they deserve. And it's true for, there's plenty of women who go on the road and men take care of them.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was growing up, my parents bred Irish Setters and Cocker Spaniels, obviously Irish Setters. And we had a pretty good breeding program, but I'll tell you, my mom, who was always behind the scenes, she was the one that picked them out.
Yeah.
Later on in life, I told her, you should think about judging mom. She said, oh, no, I can't do that, William, you know.
Yeah.
And she'd get too upset if someone got upset with her. So. But she had an eye, or she has an eye. I don't know if she still does. You know, she has a
costume. Cheryl does. Right, I can tell you my wife does. She did a sweepstakes. She judged once. A sweepstakes at a pointer specialty. And, man, she was great. She had no problem sorting it right out.
I'm sure.
And actually, Joan Fisher, you know Joan?
Uh-huh.
She had pointers back then, a couple. And she gave Joan Fisher's pointer with Fred Olson showing it. Boy's another guy we don't see often.
Is Fred still around?
I don't know. There's plenty of people that come to mind once in a while that I wonder.
I think of Freddie at the Garden every year.
Yeah.
Seeing him as I walk in the because he was... Was he a rep at one point?
I don't think so.
Oh no! He worked the setup at the Garden. He worked for PHA. That's what he had the PHA booth, and he would solve problems. He would solve setup problems.
A good guy. Just good. And by the way, announcement today: the AKC has named a new field representative for the Pacific Northwest, where Brian Martin used to be the rep. It's Greg McCarthy.
Oh, I did hear that. Yes, yes. Yeah.
So good luck, Greg. I know he'll be good, and he knows dogs, and good luck. And
Greg's a great guy. He'll do a great job. Everybody likes him. He'll be good at sorting through issues if there are any. He's just very level-headed, Greg.
And really, you know, that's a great area of the country. There's great dog people out there. I love those shows in Portland. I just love those shows. The Rose City shows, the Patty Strands. Yeah. And those are great dog shows. And Seattle, and there's so many more. You just won out there, didn't you, Will?
Well, a couple of years ago now. It's a COVID.
No, with a little beagle. The
AJ.
AJ.
Well, that was almost 2 years ago now, because of COVID, Wayne.
Well, that year's gone. That doesn't count.
Exactly. I had the dog out there because a good friend of mine runs those set of shows, John Routon. And I'll send a shout out to Johnny because he does a great job of those shows. But yeah, I went to visit Sherry out there. We took AJ and I got to see those shows. And it was a fun set of shows. It really was. Yeah. And they've got a lot of history of those shows. Like I think I interviewed Bill McFadden about that. And it's one of the first shows he ever went to was the Portland shows. So.
Really? How cool. Yeah. Wow, that's really cool. One of the first shows I went to on the West Coast was the old Cow Palace, when it was really the Cow Palace. That was quite an extravaganza. I remember John Manville, we were both working for the AKC. John and I flew out, and he knew the place. I didn't, and it was one of my first dog shows on the West Coast. And it was a lot of fun memories from back there. You know, it used to be so different. We used to have the dog show world on the West Coast, the dog show world on the East Coast, the Midwest, and that's where they stood. There are three separate,
for sure.
Like a golden retriever, Canada, right? You got the front and the back. And Canada was a whole other planet for us back then.
Oh, but Canada has the same idea. We have Ontario, and then the West, and then we have the East Coast. And it was.
Yeah. And where were the best ones?
Well, back in that days, we had a lot of the numbers were in Ontario. That didn't mean the best ones were there.
Right.
The numbers were there. So a lot of the top dogs came out of Ontario because
they beat the most dogs.
Numbers were there. Yeah. We had some great winning dogs. For the longest time, the greatest winning Irish setter of all time in Canada was a dog named Draharan Bachelor Boy that Kenny Murray actually owned at one
point. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was owned by Colonel Threckled up here, but down on the East Coast. And he won like 70 odd best in shows. And he did it himself. He showed it himself. The Colonel did. Right. So.
We should call Ken again and ask him about.
Bring up Bachelor Boy.
We want to apologize. We want to technically apologize for a technical faux pas. We had Ken Murray on. And by the way, when we call somebody, it's not like they know we're calling.
Yeah, they don't know we're calling.
No idea. This is not like the wake up call where people have the makeup on. They're standing there like,
good morning, Bill.
This is really a surprise. And we're really sorry that you couldn't hear him. Because we just didn't have the audio sorted out yet. And we hope we do now. We just tested it before.
Yeah.
We hope that if we make calls now, we'll be able to find somebody. I'd call Dougie right now, but it's too late. I know he's sleeping. but, you know, Doug goes to bed at 7.
That's because he's up at 4, though.
He's up at 4. Yeah, he is. I get to see Doug this weekend. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to be judging in Bear, Ken, Jim Moses, Doug, Rita, you know, a whole bunch of us, Clay, Jim Moses. It'll be a blast. But I just looked at the weather report. It's going to be 30 mile an hour winds outdoors.
And don't wear a cap.
Can tents handle 30 mile an hour winds?
I think 30 miles an hour. Yeah. What is that? It'll be 50 kilometers or so. Yeah, you'll be fine.
And the big tents will.
I know.
The little pop-up things will be.
They're gone. There'll be spiders everywhere.
Up in trees. Everybody will pack up the next morning and leave, and everything will be up in the trees. Look at a grooming table up there. I lost my grooming table. It's over there in the oak.
We had this huge storm 1 year that shows in Bracebridge, Ontario, and we all had those freestanding tents, and I had those in front of my trailer back then. And the storm came, and it took my tent up in the air over my Airedale client's trailer and impaled my dad's trailer.
Oh no. that's a horrible
right
thing.
Through his bathroom wall. Yeah,
that's horrible.
It was. Yeah, yeah.
Poor dad. Well, we hope we're gonna get by there. I'm sending Will a note, ladies and gentlemen. This is how professional we are. What time did we start, Will?
No, I get it. We should probably wrap it up.
We should probably wrap it up. And that's too bad because we have a lot of things we didn't get to. I want to mention one thing though. We talked a while back, one of our early podcasts, I was saying that there should be a place where articles would go so you could find them. And it's a giant effort and it's going to take, I don't know, so a Herculean effort led by some giant organization to do it. But meanwhile, I got a wonderful email from a woman in England. And forgive me, I don't know if it's Nicola or Nicola. I think it's Nicola Spencer. She's a great judge over there, very popular judge. And and just a great woman and great breeder and dog person. But she has started a thing on Facebook called Canine Connoisseurs. It's a Facebook group, Canine Connoisseurs. You have to look up connoisseurs in the dictionary because I can't spell it off the top of my head anymore. But starts with a C. Anyway, check out Canine Connoisseurs. She has done a great job of putting together some important articles to read.
Oh, good.
Obviously, it's not all of them, and you can't database search them and say Irish Setters or whatever. But there's a ton of good stuff over there. So tip of the hat to Ms. Spencer, and thank you very much for calling in and letting us know about this Canine Connoisseurs group. So check it out. And don't forget to subscribe to this channel if the spirit moves you, and tell your friends we're having a good time doing it. And young William?
Yes, Wayne.
Take us home, buddy. Take us home.
Well, don't forget, I'll mention where they can be found. Spotify, Apple, and Sketcher. So that's it for this week. Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. And remember, in the famous words of Roy Holloway, don't do anything stupid.
Don't do anything stupid. Oh, I have some we forgot to talk about. We'll do it next week.
All right. Safe travels, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, be safe, guys, out there.
I'm born to run. When we first had this idea of putting on this shindig, we didn't know if anyone would come.
Something big, something mega, something copious, something capacious, something kajunga.